Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. Here we go.
Go Padres.
The stove is lit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded. We recorded before the end of the NLCS.
Yes.
That the Padres lost. And
decisively, yeah. So.
Yeah, they lost. It happens. Not often to us where we get that far, but I don't know. I'm glad that we kind of, you know, we haven't recorded in a while. Dallas couldn't make it for this one, but he's still riding the high of the game in the rain against the Dodgers. Yes. Where the Blink 182 poured through, you know. It's a weird feeling for me to be in as a Padres fan, where I feel like I haven't gone into an off season like this, you know, where I'm optimistic. I feel like I have a healthy organization that I'm rooting for. I mean, where are you at right now?
Very much the same. I mean,
yeah,
I think much like the Padres team, we got so high from that Dodger victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I was telling you before we started recording that, like, I had to look up the Philadelphia series to kind of even remember what happened. It yeah. all went by so fast after that Dodger high that, yeah, I'm still loving that Dodger win, and everything that happened after it was just, we almost kind of talked about it, like, it'd be bonus whatever happens. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to this off season, optimistic about what's going to happen this year with our little boy coming back, not so little anymore.
Yeah, well, let's try. I like that we're doing this with a little distance from the Philadelphia series, because I think one thing I was always curious about when in the lean years, the dark times, was always, you know, we'd sit and watch the postseason, and we'd watch these fan bases lose their mind over coaching decisions in the playoffs. And I always wondered, how would we react to that? Like, you know, a series, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. It's going to go bad for somebody. And what coaching decisions stick out to the fan base that lost? It seems like it's a very common thing, especially with baseball, for baseball fans to go back and nitpick and second guess coaching decisions, especially with bullpen decisions, it seems like, in the playoffs. And, you know, I remember, you know, the initial reaction from that series was a couple things that happened in the last game, where people were really frustrated with Bob Melvin. I mean, you know, there's the leaving Suarez in with Bryce Harper. There's the bunt with Trent Grisham.
Well, in the ninth, isn't that what it was?
Yeah, there's stuff like that. I mean, does that maybe in the moment, like the few days after that, it was so loud, but like that seems to have fallen away with the fan base. I don't really feel like people are as fixated on that. I mean, is that something that you find to be alarming? Or like a red flag as far as Bob Melvin?
No. In fact, I wasn't that. I felt like by the Sunday game, wasn't that it? That the final game, they were done. The game before, I think, is where I had most of my frustrations with Melvin. But then again, it was kind of like, well, we don't have that fourth starter. What are you going to do? I thought starting Sunshine. Mm-hmm. On that fourth game was just the most confusing managerial decision of the year for me in Melvin. Martinez, you had a couple other guys I felt that could at least, if we could get through one or two innings where they didn't just slam us, you know what I mean? Because I felt that was either they're going to just rock us in the first inning or he's going to squeak by. And he got immediately rocked. I think they had to take him out of the game without an out, if I'm not wrong.
His quotes after the game were rough. It's just like, this is one of the worst days of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, that's where, and I don't know the whole situation, but Darvish, the first game was very much just like a pitcher's duel. There's not much you can do about that. A 2-0, you know, gem of a game by both pitchers. What are you going to do about it? And then we won a snow game, like Snell dominated in that second game, and we won at their home, which was amazing. And then Musgrove, I'm trying to remember this game because I feel like he was working hard the whole game. But there was a pitching change in this game, maybe. I don't know. The third game was weird, and I think everything pivoted on that third game, and we couldn't do it. You know, Musgrove was struggling. The offense couldn't muster anything at home on a Friday night, if I'm remembering correctly. And so, yeah, I felt that that third game, and then once they went with Sunshine, it was kind of over. And so the fifth game, I didn't judge that game too harshly. They were out of it. They were not.
Well, yeah, especially like, yeah, I think that's right. And I think the Phillies were just in a zone. I think are they even in the top three best teams in the National League in 2022? I don't think so. But they were.
Harper got on a streak with us. That was.
And it's interesting, you know, I think the moment that people will remember and ultimately the people that are, I think this is faded, but I think the big critics of Bob Melvin is that he left in Suarez for Bryce Harper. And I think the conventional belief in that camp is that, why do you have Josh Hader on the roster if you're not going to use him? Well, that's a little more complicated. I mean, that he wanted to save Josh Hader for later, but also Suarez Bryce Harper had mentioned in the post game is that Suarez had struck him out earlier that series and like had good success against him. So I think when Bob Melvin says that he had a lot of confidence in Robert Suarez, you know, I don't feel like I'm in a position to really question that. I mean, Robert Suarez had a good season. I think Melvin trusted him most of the year, or, you know, as the year progressed, and then he stuck with him after he had success against Bryce Harper before. So that's a tough one. I mean, maybe I didn't see anything that glaring. I mean, the bunt that Trent Grisham made at the crucial moment, that was a little weird, I thought, but I don't know. Maybe you've watched Trent Grisham. Maybe if you've watched Trent Grisham all year long as a manager, you thought maybe this is the best chance for him to get on base. You know, I mean, that guy
am I remembering it correctly? Was it a called bunt or was that something that Grisham just did? I'm trying to remember that. Yeah, I don't remember actually. I feel like Melvin said that he was just kind of doing his own thing. And to me, that's actually worse. if you don't have a plan of attack, it's like your Hail Mary at the end of the game, right? That's your top of the ninth. At the end of the division series, it's not like the top of the ninth at, or the bottom of the ninth at, you know, regular season game. This is the final game of the year. And for a bunt in that situation, yeah, felt wrong on both accounts. Either you called it wrong or you let a player do something that you should have had control over.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I think that's right. And then like, what I'm interested in is to see what gets filed away when we get back, hopefully, I mean, knock on wood, that we get back to the postseason, say we get to the NLDS that far and we lose a series. You know, I think it's obvious we're going to be on a run here. We have a core nucleus that's going to be making attempts at the mountaintop every year for a while. You know, is this something, are these decisions, are these things that happened at the end of that series going to be filed away and used against him if something else happens? I mean, I don't know. Like if this is a pattern, you know, are people going to hold on to this? I don't think there's enough here for that, but
I think they will if it goes bad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Dave Roberts, we go back and look at everything he's done now. And yes, we look at every single bad decision he's made. Because now he has a reputation for it. So hopefully Bob doesn't build up a bad rep. But yeah, if it goes one or two more years of a similar situation with a bunt at the end of this season and starting pitchers that are just most of the fans are like, what are you doing? Yeah, that's gonna it's gonna add up quick. Because we're also I think we're even hungrier in San Diego than in LA or these big market teams.
And I think so. Yeah.
We're going to get to a point where we're no longer going to be just happy to be there. It's going to be, we're going to be watching every jot and tittle. And until we win, we're going to start to get even more fixated on the details. I hope at least, because we need to do this. We're getting old, Nick.
But I, you know, I think it's, if people are holding on to that, even after this year, you know, I saw things like, oh, I'll never forget that last game. I'll never understand why we didn't get a game six, you know, like if you zoom out and you look at this guy's, the work he did in 2022, I mean,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't have Tatis. He's navigating the Hosmer in the dugout for
the culture
most
war.
Of the season, yeah. Repairing that and getting as far as they did, and beating the Dodgers. I don't know. I mean, I think the victory against the Dodgers does more than just getting us to the next round. It also allows this group to really believe that it is possible to beat them. I mean, I didn't feel that way going into that series. I didn't feel like they could beat the Dodgers on any in any stretch of games like that.
Yeah.
And now I think that I know as a fan that it's possible. It completely unlocks something in me, and it obviously did for the city. I mean, you were there on the night that it was clinched. I was watching it on TV and on social media, and it was, I could feel the euphoria that was just coming out of the city. You know, that he gave us that, and I think he is a big part of that. And you know, I'm really just completely impressed by his ability to just get us that far.
Yes.
And I hope it's not like, you know, if you say something like that, like this was just a successful season that we're settling for losing in the NLCS. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we want our team to be taking shots at it every year. And exactly. I think we have the right guy to at least put him in that position. It feels like we have a real, a person who can navigate these really complex relationships, these complex problems. I mean, what I'm looking forward, you know, next year, like managing an NLCS. Yeah. You make your decisions. You make your choices. Maybe they work out. Maybe they don't. I mean, that's one aspect of the job. What he has coming up next year, where he has to take Tatis back into the locker room and make that work and repair that. That's actually hard. That's really challenging for anybody in a managerial position to do in any industry. Like, take somebody who is extremely talented, who's already been anointed by the organization as like the future of the organization, yeah. And everybody in the dugout, everybody in the locker room can't stand him, you know? And for good reason. And he let them all down, you know, like that's a hard thing to navigate. And I'm really, you know, that's one of my favorites. I wish it wasn't like this, but I, you know, as far as a storyline to watch, especially with Bob Melvin, I mean, that's what I want to see, what he can do. That's going to really impress me. If he can make that work and have them clicking as a team. I mean, there's a lot of challenges with that. I mean, let's
huge
talk about
challenges.
It. Yeah. I mean, Tatis coming back next year. I mean, it seems
what is
like
he, what is he going to play first?
Yeah,
of all?
Where is he going to play? I mean, I think
it's a huge tension in the team, and not only in the team, I think, but with Tatis, right? At least we all assume so when they talked about putting him in the outfield and played him there a few times. His demeanor and I think his at bat changed a bit.
Well, yeah,
so
I mean,
you have his Tatis's feelings for it, and then like, is Soto going to switch sides of the outfield if they're gonna, you know, put,
well, I guess the biggest question is Ha-Seong Kim, and like, you know, it's not like Tatis is coming back next season and he's gonna have this whole spring training to play with the team and, you know, and
right,
correct, and acclimate himself in that way and just assume the position. I mean, Kim is gonna have the shortstop job at least for the first, what is it, 20 games before he comes back. And then what is Tatis going to look like? I mean, he will have had his surgery. He hasn't played in a year. To just assume that he's just going to come back and be this person that he was, I don't think that's going to happen necessarily right away. It's going to be very complicated. And, you know, yeah, he signed a massive deal to be the shortstop for the San Diego Padres. And, you know, on his side, I kind of agree that he has a right to just say like, I'm not a center fielder. I don't want to play center field, but you know, what do you think about like Ha-Seong Kim? I mean, obviously he's a better defensive shortstop and he's progressing as a hitter. I'm wondering if, now this is my theory that the the fan base might be looking at him and having an inflated opinion about him because of the frustration they have with Tatis. Like, the Tatis problem makes us love Kim more. Do you feel like that is part of it?
That might be part of it, but I think Kim is like a, he is like a hustler player that we love in San Diego. I think that's why we like Kim, is he really seems to care about winning.
And he's so, a starting shortstop in on a playoff team. He has done that, you know, like that's what he is. Yes. Like, yes. And I think he is going to, I think, you know what I think he's going to be like a little bit similar is, I think he'll kind of be like a Yadier Molina, where he's completely a defensive star who every year he just kind of, his batting average goes up just a tick, right. You know, he's always kind of getting better like that. I think that's probably his trajectory. But on the other hand, you know, he's not Tatis, and Tatis is a completely different level of talent. And the Padres have really made their decision on him. They've committed all this money to him. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe the best move for the team is to make every effort to make sure that he is the starting shortstop going forward. I mean, is Kim a guy that you build around? I don't think that's the case. Like, he's not that kind of talent.
Well, here's the thing. I took my daughter on a field trip today. I was one of the chaperones, and we didn't take a bus or anything. We walked. And I was surprised by the number of boys in the class that had Padres stuff on. It was kind of wild. I don't ever remember, not that I've gone on lots of field trips, but just seeing a bunch of young boys in the class wearing Padres stuff up and down. And so I kind of started talking to him about it. And the one player that was on their lips the most was Ha-Seong Kim. Machado and Ha-Seong Kim were by far these boys' like favorite players on the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's something to be said about that. Like, I think he's leaving a mark more than just, you did good as a stopgap when Tatis was out, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think it's definitely more than that. Like, he is a guy who is, he is playing the position well, and we need somebody to play the position well. Like, he's definitely more, I have more confidence in him in a big game defensively. I mean, from what Fernando showed, but you know, Fernando Tatis, when he's healthy, has probably the best bat speed in the game. And you know, you just, I don't know. I wonder if you committed long term to Tatis or to Ha-Seong Kim, and that was your guy, and somehow they traded Tatis, after a while, would you be like thinking about how you could upgrade to finding a Tatis type, you know?
Well, of course.
I mean, that's kind of, like, I don't think he's ever going to be that, but he's just.
I've never been a fan of this until this offseason. Why can't Tatis fix his attitude? It's going to be an attitude adjustment, but be the next right fielder for the San Diego Padres. I don't know why that sounds so attractive to me, especially with the shift going away this year and with the arm Tatis has on him. I mean, I hate to say that he's like destroyed his youth, but I don't know. I'm ready with Ha-Seong Kim there to just say he's not a shortstop anymore. That's not what he's going to do. We're going to slow him down a bit. We're going to develop his power. We're going to take advantage of that rocket he has on his arm. And he's going to be the guy now that has to throw guys out at third because the shift is over. There's no going to be shortstop filling that gap. I don't know. That to me, I've never been so excited about that possibility.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's also the, you know, it's a really interesting question because I think in his own way, I don't think he's been too overtly, I don't know. I don't think Tatis has been, he's made it very clear that that's not what he wants to do. And the question is, well, the contract that they have is so crazy because they're both committed for so long.
There's no trades.
Like,
and yeah.
Yeah. I don't like people talk about them trading Tatis, and I don't know what smart baseball team is just jumping over themselves just to get him right now for that. I don't know. Like, who is?
I don't think anyone is. And that's where I think he's lost the upper hand or the privilege or the.
But does the organization want to have that kind of rift between this person that they've started this relationship with and just live with it like that. It's complicated. I mean, that's
it is complicated.
This contract is not like, it's not like Manny where they could, it's longer than that. It's like, it's for a really long time, and they both are kind of stuck with each other. And I think they're kind of operating that way. At least the Padres are. I mean, it sounds like they're just gonna bring him back and try to make it work. And they're very careful with him. You know, they've always been very careful. They don't want, you know, he has a lot of power in the way that he's positioned himself. Well, he did before he got busted. I mean, I know.
I mean, if you're Tatis, I guess you could go, okay, they're going to put me in right field. And so I'm going to sulk.
Center, yeah.
It depends on Grisham and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Profar gone now, this is why this all makes a lot of sense to me. Move Soto over to right or left. And anyways. Are you really going to sulk? He just doesn't seem like the guy to me. At least he didn't when he was first coming up. That's going to be like, oh, they're not giving me what I want. I'm going to go sulk and pout in right field for the next 10 years. He seemed like the kind of guy that's like, I'm going to make the best of whatever it is. And now that he doesn't have to carry the team, he can see they made it to almost the World Series without him. I don't know. I'm hoping he has the personality that's going to be like, I'm going to make the best of this, regardless of where they put me. We're so close to winning this. He always says, I want to win for San Diego. I don't know if that's just what they tell him to say or whatever. But I just feel like it's a perfect opportunity for him to, I don't know, to have a good attitude and do whatever the organization asks of him. But
I think it's an opportunity for him to have this redemption season and show that he's matured in a way where, you know, he's not having stuff off the field. He's not, you know, cheating. But like, you know, I hope that's where going back to Melvin, it's like, you know, I like hearing, I buy into it. I do like the hearing the stories like, oh, I text with Tatis every other day, you know, like the fact that he's got it. He's trying to be inclusive with him and trying to get him to know that he's a part of this team, even though he's not, you know, during the last season. Yeah. I think that, I think it's very possible for somebody his age to have an experience like this, come back and go, okay, this can be taken away from me. This can go away, you know, and maybe he needed this, and maybe this is something, you know, this didn't just hurt. He didn't just lose a year in his prime. He didn't just take away, you know, a year in his prime. It kind of belongs to all of baseball fans. I mean, he's that talented where it's like, oh, we all lost a year of Tatis in his early 20s. And that's, you know, that's a tragedy for the game. I think that's a tragedy for him. And okay, what are you going to do moving forward? Are you going to fall back into the same behavior, or are you going to grow up and, you know, realize that the gifts that you have and make the most of them? I think it's very possible that he takes it seriously and just has a great rest of his career. And you know, hopefully that repairs everything, you know, the interpersonal relationships in the clubhouse that he has to, you know, that he has to really figure out. I mean, that's the complicated stuff. And I you know, for somebody like Manny, like who's just, you know, every decision Manny makes in his life is to be on that field 162 games a year. That's everything that he does all year long, you know, his family and baseball. That's all he cares about. That's all he's ever cared about. And, you know, we always thought that that would rub off on Tatis, and, you know, it didn't, obviously.
But, right.
No, and I think it's very possible that he could come back. And, you know, the other thing that we should think about is that, like, the biggest thing for both Kim and Tatis is that they get enough at-bats. And I think we might just be getting a little too wrapped up in the idea that they're not going to get those at-bats if they're healthy. I mean, Kim can play second. They have the DH now. I mean, I've always thought it'd be cool to see what Crone could do with the first base job for the entire year. You have Crone at first. I mean,
Kim
at second, or, you know, whoever else they get at first, maybe not like some marquee guy, but there is flexibility and there is ways to get guys on the field. I think it is very important for this organization to have Kim get those at bats so he keeps progressing, whether or not he's playing shortstop or not. You know, I just keep him out there. I think that Melvin we'll figure a way to do that. There will be injuries. You know, people that are healthy are going to get on the field, and it usually works itself out. It doesn't have to be all settled right now. I think a lot of times baseball fans, me included, we want the lineup set. We want to know who's playing where, and that's what's going to happen. And it never works out that way. It, you know, guys get hurt. People have to step up. And if you're hitting and you're healthy, you end up getting at bats. So, and Melvin's definitely, you know, capable of figuring that out, I think.
Totally. So what are you hoping we do? If, let's say, Tatis is going to play short, and the infield's set, right? Our infield's set. We're not looking for any new infield. Our big hole right now is an outfielder, right?
Yeah. I mean, so far they've, you know, we've fired our, we've changed hitting coaches. We haven't
been
announced yet. But.
Our new one's not, I'm not super stoked on this guy. He had like a 215 career average. If I read that right.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be there will be more hitting coaches in the Preller
era.
It's just every year. And I don't care. I mean, I could definitely see, I'm more interested in like the pitching coaches. I think that's a little bit more important. I don't know. Last year, Berdar or whatever. People seem to be happy that he's gone. Like he was the problem or something. They had a bad offense for a lot of the year. They still
they
made the
did
playoffs,
though. They
so
did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, we'll see. I'm at least happy that there's someone new. But
do you remember the Zinter era? The Zinter. Yeah. Andy Green fired a lot of assistants.
Yes, he did.
But also, you know, so we did extend Robert Suarez for I guess it was 4 years or no, was it? Yeah, 4 years.
Four, yeah.
5 years. 5 years, $46 million. And that's been widely considered that is saying that he is probably going to be the closer of the future. I really like him. I think he's, you know, I don't know if I would have gone that far. It seems like they could plug in people. I don't know about the committing to a closer for long term, you know, in 2022. That seems like a 90s thing to do.
True. And as amazing as he was, like, he
I mean,
awesome. He hasn't like years of proven track record. He had a really good 2022.
Well,
I mean, that
Melvin
was his first major
him.
League season. So, yeah, I hope he has the stamina. The staying power, whatever it is that he had this year carries over. I think it's a great move. I'm not criticizing it. It's just kind of a big contract over, you know, 8 months of proof.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he wasn't a major leaguer up until this last year. It was his first. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Stuff is electric. I mean,
it is amazing.
And Melvin definitely trusts him in big spots, obviously. And maybe this is communicating to us that. He was confident in Robert Suarez against
deal.
Bryce Harper, but you know, I don't mind that. It depends, you know, on what it unlocks or what it stops them from doing around the rest of the roster. But they also today they re-signed Nick Martinez for 3 years, $26 million. I like it. I like that. That seems reasonable.
That's especially after we did what was it for. What's his? Oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name now, and he never played.
Stamina?
We were giving him.
Oh no, no.
Pomerantz. We were giving him like $17 million a year to do nothing. So
yeah,
that seems like a deal for Martinez if he stays healthy.
That transaction was a real opportunity for people to really get excited about the Padres being a really smart baseball team. Like they took from what the Giants did with him. Like there was something with the Giants. Used him in a certain way that Preller basically aped and just like took him and tried to use him that way, but he ended up he was just hurt the whole time. He's been on our team twice and he's been hurt most of the time.
Yeah.
But you know, Nick Martinez is an interesting player. He can be a starter, he can be a long reliever. I'd like to see him get more starts, you know, if Clevinger
was like
is gonna be what this, you know.
Yeah, but he was so clutch in like some of those games where the starter wasn't, and he would do like 4, 5, 6 just brilliantly. So yeah, that's a good move. He's very flexible.
They're
going to
need it. They're going to need it next year, and I like him a lot. I think that's That's a pretty solid move. It seems like they're, I don't think they're going to do any big splashes unless, you know, somehow they move to Tease or something like that. I don't know if that.
But we lost. We Profar is no longer a Padre.
Profar, the Profar era is over.
The Will Myers era is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then obviously Hosmer left, but what I don't know is Drew Rees deal. Is he around this year still?
You should know.
And
that.
Then I don't know.
Josh Bell's gone. Bell's right. Gone. Yeah.
So let's if see. Drury is not here longer, we definitely have an outfield issue and a first base issue, I think.
Yeah.
Because as well as Crone could play first, he can't play every single game. And we don't have a Myers and we don't have anyone else to fill up first. So to me, that's a pretty big spot. Rizzo already re-signed with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else is out there.
Let's see.
Unless you want to like trade Tatis for who could we get at first? No, I'm trying.
Yeah, I know Brandon Drury is a free agent. So yeah.
So we do have a little bit of, you know, the corner positions, the left field and the first base, I think are a little thin. So we do need to do something, right?
No, I think that I we haven't really seen an offseason or a trade deadline where Preller doesn't do anything. I mean, he's generally somebody who's active, and you know, there's definitely things that he can do. I don't know. I would like to see, maybe throw. I don't know. I'd like to see what they could do with DeGrom. can we go after the
Oh my gosh.
But I don't think they're going to spend that kind of money. It seems like
Yeah, I mean, I'll play first if they get DeGrom. We'll be fine.
But he's did they sign him?
Because he opted out, I think.
Wait. Yeah, but he's looking for a contract. I saw something where he's looking for a contract that's like 3 years. Which I like because he's like 35. Yes. He's older, you know, but I would love to have him for like the next 2 years. But, and then just figure out the outfield and first base and all that, you know.
I see nothing wrong with giving Bell.
I'd like to see
a Bell nice again, little contract, but a nice, you know, 3 or 4 year deal too. But we'll see. I think he's got a lot of upside and switching teams in the middle of the year or whatever. Didn't he win like a Silver Slugger this year too?
I don't think he did. He had a great couple years though earlier. This was kind of a down year for him, but yeah, that's an option. I mean, basically we have the winter meetings coming up in December, so we're going to see where this goes. I think I'm excited. I feel like this is new territory for me, but you know, I have confidence in Preller that he'll do something to improve the roster. And yeah, we have a manager that we like. We've beaten the Dodgers, and the fan base is jazzed. We're in this new territory, and it's really exciting.
It is, and Bell did win the Silver Slugger this year.
Oh, he did. Okay,
yeah, like he was ripping up. I think he had the highest average in the NL before he came over to the Padres or something. Oh no, that was Drury. Anyways. Both those guys were performing much better before they came over to us. So we'll see what we do.
I stopped following
signing into those guys.
I stopped following the postseason awards when that punk Nolan Arenado won the Golden Glove over Manny Machado. I just think it's really sad that the game has turned that way.
It has. It's really sad. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm saying my prayers for Manny tonight. He deserves it. I mean, I don't understand how it's even a competition when the other two guys nominated for MVP are on the same team. That's like ridiculously stupid. I don't even understand how MLB can let that happen. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
They just immediately cancel each other out if you have two guys on the same team as MVP. How can that be? I don't get... You're the most valuable player on your team. It doesn't make sense to compare it to anything else, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I you know, they both had great seasons, you know, but you know, it wasn't like a dominant team. you know, I think Manny really like carried them through a lot of rough stretches. And, you know, even the part where he was definitely hurt and still playing, I think that even though maybe he wasn't at his best, it's still symbolically to everybody else on the team, like, this is the bar that I'm setting. I'm going out there. It's just, I don't know, that guy, no complaints over here for me. I mean, that guy is just out of control. And you know, that contract, he's lived up to that contract. It's really worked out better than, you know, a lot of times when something like that happens, a team makes a big splash. It usually, in a lot of, there's a lot of ways it can go wrong. And he's just been a leader since day one, and it's been beautiful to watch. You know, I don't know.
I just think I look at it like, if you had either of those guys on the Padres, they're not going to be as a big of impact on that team as Machado was. Right.
Yeah, I
that's just how I look at it. But
it's the Cardinals.
Maybe I'm a San Diego homer.
Yeah, so. I know. The Cardinals get everything. So I'm assuming they'll probably give it to Goldschmidt, you know.
That's grotesque, especially after giving the gold glove. Yeah, that would be awful. But we're used to it as Padres fans, and we'll bounce back. Machado deserves better.
We'll use it next year. So.
King Machado deserves better.
Cool. Hey, well, let's check in maybe after Thanksgiving, and you know, the hot stove is going to heat up. We're going to have some of these questions might be answered by the time we come back. And Travis, what are you most thankful for within the Padres context?
I am thankful that we have a team that we can hold our head high and no longer have to be this disrespected little surf town team in San Diego that can never beat the Dodgers. Honestly, it's a really, I don't feel like a loser anymore. Even though we haven't won the World Series, being a San Diegan, you kind of personify losing. Like, it's just, you know, it's what we do in San Diego. And now I don't, and this might sound totally ridiculous, but like this, a little subconscious, like, I'm not a loser anymore. We won. We beat the Dodgers. We beat a team we never should have beat in that situation. And so I'm very thankful for that. It's a good feeling not to be a total loser.
I'm thankful for all the media members, the national media members who definitely took the side of the Spanos family for moving to LA, who, you know, the victims that they were, you know, because the NFL couldn't work in San Diego.
The fans just don't show up. Yeah.
They see the reaction during the playoff games and they're like, the Chargers should go back. Come on, the Chargers should be in San Diego. Like, that seemed to be like a big national discussion, like after seeing those playoff games and how everybody lost their mind and how much support they got all year. You know, it's like, oh yeah, sports can work here if you meet the fan base halfway and give them a product that is a real competitive product. You know, like, we'll show up, you know. And that was beautiful to watch, just to watch them kind of just forget what they said before and say the complete opposite when it supports what they're watching, you know. All right, man. Well, we'll keeping the faith. I have faith in Preller. He's going to do some stuff. If they do trade Tatis, we will do an emergency pod. Okay. So
that's
probably the big one. And, you know, go Manny, win it. You're the MVP on this podcast, Manny.
So absolutely. Matters. Absolutely. Manny.
All right. We'll talk to you next time. Keep the faith.